Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard if you did that. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're here. Glad you stayed with us. Macy Davis is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Macy is a new friend. And she also is a relatively new member of an organization that I've been a member of for a long time, the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And Macy is the new tax counsel there at the NFIB. She assists them in research and development of tax agendas that benefit you and me. And in prior to coming with the NFIB, she worked for a great American, Senator Kit Bond of Missouri. Macy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on two things. Number one, from having worked for Kit Bond.
What a great American.
Wonderful man. Well, he's been on this show before, and he's a great American and a great public servant. And also on your new assignment with the NFIB.
Thank you. It's a thrill to be here. I've had an opportunity to work with NFIB when I used to work for Senator Bond,
sure.
And they've always been a wonderful organization.
Because you worked on the small business part of his world, didn't you?
I sure did. I started on the Small Business Committee when Senator Bond was ranking member in 2002.
Right. I wish he were back over there. I wish Kit Bond were in charge of the Senate Small Business Committee right now instead of Olympia Snow, to be honest with you.
Well, he's still a member, and he does work closely with Chairman Snow. He's still very much involved.
A little more of his influence needs to rub off on her, I think. But and you don't have to say that, but I will. I'm not too happy. I'm not too happy with Senator Snow these days. But anyway. Let's move on and talk about what you've been working on lately. One of the things there's been quite a bit of activity in the Senate, in Congress, but especially the Senate, on tax policy in the last 30 days, and it will be over the next couple of weeks or so, I think. And it's been kind of a mixed bag, hasn't it, Macy?
It sure has. We have been waiting to have a vote on full repeal of the death tax for quite some time now, really ever since the legislation was passed in 2001 that set the death tax on a course for permanent repeal. And just last week, we were able to have our first vote in years in the Senate, but it was just a motion to proceed to the legislation.
Right.
And that particular motion required 60 votes. We were three votes shy.
Well, and two of the reasons we were shy was because of Leapin' Lincoln. Lincoln Chafee out of New Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Leapin' Lincoln. And then we got Vasiliy Voinovich out of Ohio. And then we've got two or three Democrats who campaigned on being in favor of abolishing the death tax, who then backed out and basically backed out on their and reneged on their deal. And one of them is Landrieu out of Louisiana. And what's the guy's name? The one from Oregon. There's another one from Oregon, I think. I've forgotten who that is, but three or four senators on the Democrat side promised to vote for the repeal of the death tax, and they backed out, didn't they?
I think that, we were fortunate enough to have four Democrat senators,
right.
Baucus, Lincoln, Nelson of Florida, and Nelson of Nebraska.
And that Lincoln is not the same Lincoln I was talking about, folks.
No,
I'm talking about Lincoln Chafee.
Lincoln
Chafee's the one I'm talking about. No, the other Lincoln's a good guy. This one, Lincoln Chafee, not so much. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Senator Blanche Lincoln,
right.
Of Arkansas. These four Democrat senators, we were very appreciative of their vote. I think for other senators, it could have been a political move for them. Some threatened by deficit numbers. It's unclear, but you're correct. We thought that some of them would be with us on this procedural vote. Whether or not they were in favor of full or permanent repeal is another story. That was not the vote that we had last week.
Right.
This was merely a procedural vote. And
well,
we would like to have brought the debate to the floor.
Well, exactly. That's the whole idea. Is that and that's the thing that's so annoying about the Senate, is so much debate doesn't get to happen because of this procedural vote thing, the requirement for 60 votes to avoid a filibuster. We come back, folks. I'm going to ask Macy, what do we got to do to resurrect the repeal of the death tax debate, if it can be done this year, if it will be done this year, and other tax issues that affect you and me, and these taxes that suck the capital right out of our small businesses. And we're going to talk about that with Macy Davis with the NFIB right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
Mr. Van Morrison, ladies and gentlemen.
The leaves on the trees are falling.
One of the great voices of all time.
Sound of the breezes that blow.
Moon Dance, one of the great songs of all time, too. Here we go.
You know the night's magic.
Classic Morrison. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad Macy Davis is here as well. Macy is tax counsel for the National Federation of Independent Business. And Macy, we were talking about the death tax, and obviously it went down, at least for the time being. What do we got to do to get it resurrected again?
Yeah, what next is the question. Discussions continue about where to go from here, and I think the Senate GOP leadership is debating whether an estate tax reform proposal should be added to another vehicle so that we can actually have a vote on full repeal. That could be the pension legislation, immigration conference report. It could be a standalone bill still. I think that there's less chance, certainly, of full repeal vote on standalone, which is why there are discussions of compromises floating around, several discussions from several different senators.
It always interests me why some rich people, weigh in on this bill. On this topic of repeal of the death tax, and they're against it. Many of them are. Some of them are. Whenever I could, I'd like to interview some of those people, and say, okay, have you taken any steps yourself to avoid? Have you hired tax attorneys? Have you hired, experts to help you avoid the death tax yourself for your own heirs?
I'm sure they have.
And the ones who say no, I'll listen to those guys, because they've got a real altruistic reason for saying this. But most people who have plenty of money, who have a certain level of money, they're able to avoid death tax basically through trusts and different constructs. But the average small business owner out there, mom and pop founds a business or a farm or something like that, and by the time their end of their life comes, there's more value in the assets of the business, in terms of the building and the real estate or the farmland or whatever, and there's no liquidity at all. Many of these businesses, many of these families are maybe worth a few million dollars, but there's no liquidity. The underlying assets is making a living for the people and the employees, for the children and the employees.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's the biggest problem. I mean, an average family can spend $30,000 to $150,000 on estate planning, and for some small business owners, that is well dipping into any capital that they have, any existing capital. And for the wealthiest of individuals, it may not seem like much for the Bill Gates of the world.
Right.
But they are the ones who are profiting off of the businesses who are forced to sell due to this death tax. So,
yeah. And I'd like to remind people also, Macy, that the death tax was created to pay for a war that's been over for almost 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the death tax wasn't created so that because somebody said, you know what, it's the morally right thing to do. We should be taxing people on their assets. The government just needed some money, and this was a tax they came up with. Now the war is over. We won that war. It's time to move on. It's time to get rid of this tax. And on the revenue side, Macy, what do you say? What does the NFIB say when people say, well, we need that money. We can't do without that money. What do you think?
Well, that's the anomaly here. The death tax accounts for roughly 1% of federal revenues. That was $24.8 billion in 2004.
Right.
The primary reason for that is that Americans spend a significant amount of time and money to avoid leaving an estate that would be subject to the tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read a report the other day, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that an estimate that that if you established a, you know, maybe some level of taxation, but not but you know, not the full taxation that we have right now on estate tax, you could actually wind up being a revenue positive by repealing it and by just adjusting the way the tax is paid on estates. What do you think about that? Have you read that?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with the exact article that you're talking about, but I think that unfortunately, we don't use dynamic scoring today. We use static scoring. So any of the scoring involved in determining what the revenue impact will be for repeal or even for a compromise proposal, you have significant revenue loss in the score with dynamic scoring. And even that we've seen proof with the cap gains and dividends rates reduced to 15%, you've mm-hmm. seen a huge surge in revenue to the federal government that was once scored as a revenue loss.
Right. Dynamic scoring, if is the way I understand it, Macy, is where we actually take into consideration the opportunity that can exist from making a tax change, a change in the tax code.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Not just in the loss, but also what it can create. And of course, dynamic scoring is the harness made of supply-side economics. And it's where, you know, if you give a small business owner $1,000 worth of capital to stay in their business, instead of taxing them for that $1,000, they might create $2,000 or $3,000 worth of opportunity, including tax revenue, much more than that $1,000. That's the way it works. And it's working in front of our very eyes, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, Macy Davis and I are going to talk about the big doings going on in Washington, D.C. next week at the NFIB. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Macy Davis with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And folks, as you may know, if you've heard me say this before, if you've been listening to my show, I've been talking about it since I went on the air in 97. I've been a member of the NFIB since probably 1990, Macy.
Well, that's fabulous.
I don't know if you know that. I've been paying you guys some dues ever since then, and it's a great organization, folks. They work hard for small businesses. I encourage you to go to their website and join the organization. Put your small contribution in like I do every year, and it rolls up to allowing folks like Macy and others that you've heard on the show before, like the new president, Todd Stottlemyre, who's been on the show and who will be back on next week. It allows those guys to go to Washington, to go to your state house, and lobby on your behalf. and they do the things that you ask them to do. I know that's one thing that's pretty unique about the NFIB, Macy, is you guys ask your members, what do you want us to work on? And when we tell you, you go to work on it.
I agree with you. I mean, we're their voice. We're able to talk with our members, learn what it is that what their needs are, and then we take that straight to the Hill, to the senators and congressmen, and tell them these are the small businesses' needs.
Right. Absolutely. Now, we've got big doings going on next week. Tell us about it.
We sure do. We're having our Small Business Summit. It's a biennial summit, and we're having quite a few political and business experts that are going to be attending to address the key small business issues, and we're hopeful to have a great deal of our members in attendance and looking forward to seeing you there.
I'm going to be there Monday and Tuesday, broadcasting Sunday through Tuesday, I guess, and I'll be broadcasting Monday and Tuesday.
Well, great.
From the event. Right there at the Washington Hilton, right?
Absolutely. No. It's at the Grand Hyatt.
Yeah, the Grand Hyatt. I'm sorry, the Grand Hyatt. Yeah. I get some of those confused. The Grand
Me
Hyatt
too.
Right there on F and 16th, I think, is if I'm not mistaken.
It's 1000 H Street.
H Street. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. All right. We'll get it right in a minute. And so it's a big deal. This is the biannual event. And you got a lot of folks coming in, a lot of the members coming in from across the country, and we're going to be meeting them, and you're going to be meeting them, folks, too. You're going to be I'm going to be introducing you to some of them Monday and Tuesday. These are real life small business owners who will be talking about what's going on in their lives. Macy, what about? And by the way, you can still find out more about it. You can find out about the event at nfib.com, right?
Absolutely,
just go
nfib.com.
Right there.
You can see the list of the key speakers, including our president and CEO, Todd Stottlemyre.
Right.
We have Senators Enzi of Wyoming, Senator Nelson of Nebraska, Congressman Jim Matheson of Utah.
We got Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi is going to be there.
Absolutely.
He's a great American, no question about it. So, folks, check that out. It's called The Summit. You'll see it right there on the homepage. Macy, we got a couple of minutes left. What are some other tax debate issues that are going on right now that we can still weigh in on?
Well, I think that we're always very hopeful that we can make those 2001 tax cuts permanent to Section 179.
Right.
Small business equipment expensing, the individual tax rates, keep them at a reduced rate, potentially lower those, and also restaurant and leasehold depreciation.
By the way, folks, let me stop you for a second, Macy. That 179 deduction is now, what, $108,000?
Yes,
that what it is?
Is?
At $108,000. The NFI, nobody worked harder to get that from zero to 17.5 to 10,000, then to 17.5, then to 25,000, then in 03, I think it went to 100,000 and now up to 108. Nobody worked harder on getting that passed than the NFIB, and I wanted to congratulate you guys on that, Macy. Go ahead.
Thank you.
What are some of the other things?
Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, we always are working to on different and new ideas to provide greater tax relief for our members, and that's some of the things that we're going to be bringing to the table in the next coming months. So you can be on the lookout for that.
All right. What back to this death tax repeal, is there a chance that could be resurrected this year at all?
Oh, I think there's definitely a chance. I think that discussions are still very hot and heavy right now in the Senate especially, and we're very hopeful that that we can get something done. The thing is, it's not going away, and
right.
Every year until 2010, the pressure is on to do something.
It winds down to zero in 2010, then it comes back 100% in 2011, which is still an amazing development that somebody like our Congress could impose that on us with a straight face. Hey, Macy, thank you for being here. Good job today, and I'll see you on Sunday.
All right, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to it. Thanks. Macy Davis, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away because I'll be back on the other side of the news with Jack Mitchell. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.